Numerous studies also show that radical children were not rebelling against their parents' values. The single best predictor of whether a college student would become a campus radical was the ideology of his or her own parents. Left-leaning parents produced left-leaning children who grew up to be radical revolutionaries. The most significant divide among young people was between those attending college and those not. But even among campus youth, attitudes on Vietnam didn't turn negative until the 1960s were almost over. And even then, there was much less consensus than the PBS documentaries would suggest. Moreover, the student radicals themselves were not quite the anti-war pacifists that John Lennon nostalgists might think. They did not want to give peace a chance when the peace wasn't favorable to their agenda. The Students for Democratic Society, or SDS, did not start out as an anti-war organization. Indeed, its leader Tom Hayden considered the early anti-war activism a distraction from its core mission in the streets. Even after the New Left became chiefly defined by its stance against the war, it was never pacifistic, at least at its most glorified fringes. The Black Panthers, who assassinated police in ambushes and plotted terrorist bombings, were revered by New Left radicals. Hayden called them our Viet Cong. The Weathermen, an offshoot of the SDS, conducted a campaign of domestic terrorism and preached the cleansing value of violence. Vietnam Veterans Against the War, the group John Kerry spoke for and led, internally debated whether or not it should assassinate politicians who supported the war. Gandhis, they were not. This raises an even more fundamentally dishonest aspect of the 1960s myth. Dean, speaking for the many, paints the 1960s as a time of great unity. People my age really felt that way. But this is patent nonsense. People didn't feel that way. The people Howard Dean knew felt that way, or at least their nostalgia causes them to think they did. It's bizarre how many people remember the 1960s as a time of unity and hope, when it was in reality a time of rampant domestic terrorism, campus tumult, assassinations, and riots. Nostalgia for their own youth can't explain this myopia, since liberals also pine for the 1930s as a time when we were all in it together. This too is a gross distortion. The United States was not unified in the 1930s. It was torn by political unrest, intense labor violence, and the fear that one totalitarianism or another lay just around the corner. If unity alone was the issue, the left would pine for the 1950s or even the 1920s. But the left didn't thrive in these decades, so any unity enjoyed by Americans was illegitimate. In other words, it's not unity the left longs for, but victory. Unity on terms not their own, such as the staid conformity of the 1950s, is false and misleading. In the 1930s and 1960s, the left's popular front approach yielded real power. And that is the true object of liberal nostalgia. Nothing more, nothing less.